I'm Mike Salem. As we begin a new year here at the Christian Worship Hour, we want to tell all of you how grateful we are to be able to be in your homes every week. My dad, Pastor Salem, proclaimed the good news of the gospel through these broadcasts, and we will continue to do so with his recorded services, Lord willing. A viewer in Michigan recently wrote to us saying, "I am so thankful for you keeping Pastor Salem's sermons on the air. Hearing his sermons and voice lets me know that God has me in his hands and I am not alone." We hope today's service on the work of the Holy Spirit will be of encouragement to you. Open your Bibles to the book of John chapter 16. Let's listen to Dad now for the message, "Help in Time of Trouble," and God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so glad that you've opened the door for us and let us come in to be with you. And we're going to have a good time worshiping the Lord together. And now as we start a new year, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit gives us guidance and help and strength along the way. So maybe you'd want to call a friend and just say, why don't you tune us in and see what's going on here? And God will bless you. I'm just sure of that, because we're going to preach the Bible. But first of all, we want to look at Psalm 111, which reads like this. "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious, he's full of compassion." Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are such a wonderful, wonderful God, and that you are great, and that you're gracious, and that you're full of compassion. And oh, so many times, Lord, we just need forgiveness, and we want to do the right thing, and the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and we fail. And so for our sins, we pray you'll just forgive us and help us to redouble our efforts to walk with you and serve you. Bless us in this service today, that the Lord Jesus will be seen, that God will be honored. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan has a song. I know you're going to like it. It's entitled, "I Need Thee Every Hour." God bless you, Jan.
Lose their power when thou art
And thank you. That's a beautiful song, Jan, and there's such a truth to it. We need Jesus every hour. And isn't it wonderful that we're starting a new year? And we're not starting it alone. We're not out in the wilderness alone, but with Jesus. And we need him every hour, not just every Sunday, not every other day, but all the time, everywhere. I need thee every hour. And you know something else? He's with his people every hour. He said he'd never leave us. He says, I'll be with you to the end of the age. And he's there by his Spirit dwelling within us and with us, helping us. Oh, isn't the gospel wonderful? Well, we have some letters, and we just want to thank all of you for writing. We read the letters, and I want to share some of them. And we get people writing in that says, oh, we like to hear what people have to say. And so hope you keep saying good things, but I suppose we'll get a clinker one of these days. But if we do, well, we'll share it with you, and away we'll go. We're looking at one here. This is from Valentine, Nebraska. And it's from a man in prison. He says, I am new to the Lord and his word. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior September 5th. I am incarcerated and a recovering addict. I watched your program today and your sermon about the Good Samaritan. I was wondering what scriptures you recommend and literature you could provide me with as on my new outlook on life. I'm also scared because my release date is December 18th, and I don't want to be drawn into my old life of addiction, racism, and violence. Any insight you could provide would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, and have a great day. Well, I'm going to tell you what we did. We wrote to this young man, and I don't know how young he is, but we wrote to him and sent literature. And we prayed for him as a new believer and sent letters to help him get it started in the Christian life. And isn't that wonderful? Now God will be there. He'll be there witnessing for the Lord in prison, serving the Lord, and God will use him just like he used St. Paul, who was also in prison on a good number of occasions. Here is St. Petersburg, Florida. May God continue to bless you We watch you every Saturday, no matter what game is on TV. When your program comes on, off goes the game. Wouldn't I like to see that man? And maybe it's a woman. I don't know. Some of these ladies like it too, but usually it's the guys. And they sit there and they go, you better not turn it off. You better not even walk in front of that TV. They might miss something. Might miss some foul or some dumb thing. But I do love to watch television, sports on television, and I'm a great Twins fan and so on. But here he is. He says, when the game comes on, you turn it off, listen to your service. God bless you. Sioux Falls, South Dakota, thank you for the privilege to give to God Almighty. Bless everyone at the Christian Worship Hour. Now, isn't this interesting? He said, thank you for the privilege to give to God. Now, if you know the Lord, if you love Jesus, you'll give. You'll give. You know, you can give without loving. We do that with the Internal Revenue Service every year, at least I do. I give, but I don't have much love in it, I can tell you that. So you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. If you love somebody, you're just going to give. It's just, you can't help it. And so here's this man. He's showing his love to the Lord Jesus. He's making his gift. And he looks at it as a privilege. And that's what it is. Worthington, Minnesota. Oh, I have to read this one. Everybody pay attention. Worthington, Minnesota. Dear Harold, I believe your voice is getting stronger. You're getting better with age. I am 102 and need your sermons. You haven't heard the best part yet. Christian love from Harold. His name is Harold. Harold Wass, W-A-S-S. I just was so thrilled with this. Believe me, that's one letter I kept. I can't keep them all, but I kept this. 102 years old, his name is Harold. And Harold is a wonderful name. I don't know why these people don't name their kids Harold. But just, and I'm so glad my mother named me Harold, because that's what everybody calls me. So it just worked out fine. So here's Harold from Worthington, Minnesota. God bless you, dear brother. And when I get to heaven, when we get to heaven, we'll look up all the Harolds and we'll have a special meeting. That's just great. Made my day. Here's Marshalltown, Iowa. Dear friends of the Christian Worship Hour, thank you for preaching God's never-changing message. Our churches are preaching more and more of a feel-good message rather than telling all that our good God does not need us, telling us that a good God won't put us in hell, but gives us a choice. And that's exactly right, because God never puts anybody in hell. We put ourselves there. When you reject Jesus Christ, it's your decision. So now here we are, we're preaching, and we're telling you that there's a heaven and a hell, because that's what God says. And Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. And he did it to warn people. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. And let me tell you something else. It all depends. You're going to be where you want to be. It's your choice. Your wife can't do it for you. And I say wife because mostly it's the men. They just won't give in. I don't know why it is. The women usually almost always come to Jesus first in a marriage. And so God is talking to you. And you have to decide, and nobody can do it for you. Parents would do it for their children, wives would do it for their husbands, and vice versa in some instances, but you have to do it yourself. And you know what you have to do? You have to tell Jesus, well, let me tell you what you can do. You could pray it right now. You say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from my wicked ways and my evil ways, and I'll serve you the best way I can, because Jesus taught repentance, and repentance means a turning from the old sins and walking with the Lord, and promise the Lord that you'll serve him the best you can, live for him the best you can, because he's got some work for you to do. And then thank him for saving you, and then tell somebody. And if it's your wife, tell your wife. And she will be so happy that she'll cook you the best meal you've had for a long, long time. And then when we have your funeral, we won't say, well, I wonder where he is. We'll say, he's with the Lord. She's with the Lord because she accepted Christ. Oh, my, I hope you'll do that in this service. Here's Salem, Oregon. And this is a prisoner also. Sometimes I feel as if God isn't here, but I never give up faith. And then something happens to let me know God is right here with me. Thank you for everything. You betcha. God doesn't stay outside the prison walls. He's with all of his people in the prison who trust him. And there are many in the prisons that do trust Jesus. And Jesus is right there. He's as close to you as he is to any of us. Maybe he's closer, I don't know. But he said, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. And you just count on it. And then witness for Jesus. And just do the best you can to let others know you have a faith. And it makes a world of difference in your life. Here's Ascov, Minnesota. My dad is writing this note for me so I can tell you thank you for your Sunday service and your Bible study. My folks and I watch your service at 9 a.m. and go to our church at 10 a.m. Then at 11 p.m., you're on again, so we get to enjoy you again. Good grief. We're enclosing a gift for your service. You know, I wouldn't even listen to myself twice. So God bless you, but probably it's a different sermon. It's a different channel, it's a different station. And sometimes we're on satellite and we don't know where we're at, except we're preaching the Bible. That's all that counts. One more, Fort Myers, Florida. God bless you, Pastor Salem. I gave my heart and soul to God. I will listen to the Christian Worship Hour. And so when I read that, I thought, you know, your gifts made this possible. You know, we could preach here, but it wouldn't go anywhere. We have men have to do all the technical work, but we had to pay our way, and God's word needs to pay its way just like anybody else. We're not asking any favors, but we couldn't pay the way unless you helped us with the bills. And so what you do is you write to the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is easy to remember. It's box 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can send gifts on from anywhere in the world on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. Get that on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then it'll say donate, and you punch donate or whatever you do. I don't do a computer, so I don't know. Somehow you get a hold of donate and say PayPal. And then you put in whatever you're going to put in. Maybe you're in France, or maybe you're in Germany, or maybe you're in Timbuktu. But whatever your currency is, it'll come in American currency, and we can pay our bills. PayPal. You pay, and we'll be your pal. You don't pay, we'll still be your pal. Can't get rid of us. But just pray. Ask God, is this something that God wants? Is this something God uses? And ask the Lord what to give, and then just be faithful in it. Then I want to tell you also about a little publication we put out called The New Song. And it's a little Bible study for every month. And this month of January, it's on God's promises, some of the wonderful promises of God. What a wonderful way to start the new year with the promises of God. And so it's a little Bible study. And then we also have the sermon topics. And we have the text, where the topics could come from. And then we have a whole page of excerpts from letters that people have written to us. We've got so many wonderful letters. I wish I could read them all, but then I wouldn't have time to preach. And that would break your heart if I didn't have time to preach. And so we're going to move on, except I want to tell you one other thing. We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Now, I'll tell you what that means. That means that they have checked every receipt we send out, and we have to receipt everything. They check our books and go through it with a fine-tooth comb. And they not only check what all we get, but they check how do you spend it. And if we don't spend it wisely, they won't endorse us. And so they edit our books. And they can walk into that office anytime they want, and they can check the books at any time. But it means that we're crystal clear in our finances. We're not ashamed of that at all. We're very proud of it. And so when you give, it'll all go to the ministry of the Christian Worship Hour. So I hope you help us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, and God bless you. Now, Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray first, then she's going to play a number on the piano that I know you're going to enjoy. Heavenly Father, thank you for your supplying our needs. Thank you that, Lord, we don't have to worry. We can just leave it up to you. And there's always enough to pay when the bills come due. I just pray that you'll bless every gift and bless every giver. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jan. I love that. In Christ alone, it's all Jesus, nothing else but Jesus. Christ alone, how beautiful. We're reading from John chapter 16, and we're going to be thinking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And in these verses, John 16, verse 7, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit and that he's going to come and what's going to happen. And this is what Jesus says. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And we're going to pray, and in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the country of Zaire. Every week, every week we pray for a country, and this will be Zaire. So, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you that that he indwells everyone who receives you as as their Savior, and that he will be with us forever. He will never leave us, and that he will help us and guide us and give us direction. And as we look into your word today, we pray that we'll see how the Holy Spirit helps us in this new year, in this journey. We've never been on this year before. We've never been on this trip before. Now it's all new to us, but it isn't new to you. And so we get to lean on you, and the Holy Spirit will be with us every step of the way. He'll guide and direct and encourage and help. So we thank you for your Spirit. And Lord, we think about our dear brothers and sisters in Zaire, and we pray for those that are left behind. We thank you for those who were martyred, those who would not denounce the faith, would not renounce the Savior, and paid for it with their lives. And so we know that they're safe in your care. They're safe in heaven. And as St. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's a gain when we can die. And so we just thank you that they're safe with you. But we pray for those left behind and the struggles and the hardships they'll have, and just encourage and bless them. And Lord, maybe you could come and be done with this thing, with what's going on. And so we put everything into your hands and pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank's going to sing for us today a song entitled Day by Day. So God bless you, Hank.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor. Ladies and gentlemen, this song I'm going to sing is written by a friend of mine named John Hager. And John is a prolific writer of gospel music. And so for those of you who enjoy bluegrass gospel, this one's for you, and it's called Day by Day.
Help me through this life, I pray. Oh, Jesus, day by day. As I follow you, Lord, keep me straight and true as I follow in the way. Oh, Lord, keep me from temptation's grasp should I falter, slip, or stray. Pick me up and keep me in the race, oh Jesus, day by day. Day by day, day by day, that's all I ask and pray. Stay by me, oh Jesus, stay day by day, day by day. All right, boys, pick it up. Oh, Lord, keep me on your narrow path. Oh, keep me in your hand. From gray of dawn till day is done, and you show your stars so grand. Oh, Lord, keep me through this evil night. Make sure that I'm okay to learn anew the majesty of you, oh Jesus, day by day, day by day, day by day. That's all I ask and pray. Stay by me, oh Jesus, stay, day by day, day by day. Day by day, day by day. That's all I ask and pray. Stay by me, oh Jesus, stay. Day by day, day by day.
Well, thank you, Hank. And isn't that perfect for our new year? Day by day, and that's the way we walk with the Lord, day by day, step by step, and he's always there. And so that's a wonderful message of the gospel, that Jesus loves you. But we need to love him, and I'm going to tell you, if you don't love Jesus because you don't know him, you don't know him. To know him is to love him. And so we just put our faith in the dear Lord Jesus, and rejoice day by day, step by step. Well, we're looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 16, Jesus introduces the world and his disciples to the Holy Spirit. They are heartsick because Jesus is comforting them. And he's told them that he's going to have to leave them, but he's going to comfort them and he's going to take care of them. And you know, Jesus is always mindful of us. No matter where you are, where you're going through, you might think, well, I don't know where the Lord is. I don't think he even hears me. I don't know, think he even knows where I'm at. Sometimes I get letters of people that feel that way. But I'm going to tell you, if you've accepted Jesus, he's with you and he'll never leave you or forsake you. And you say, well, what if I sin? Well, we all sin. And after we accept Jesus, we sin. We try not to. And we make a struggle with sin, but we're all through life, we're going to fail, we're going to sin. And when we do, we go to Jesus and we ask him to forgive us. And in 1 John 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So just get to Jesus when you sin. And so try the best you can do to live for him. In the 15th chapter then of John, Jesus talks about the world and how that the world is the enemy of Christ and how that the world is going to persecute the Christian and how he has, about how he's overcome the world. And he tells them that you're going to have troubles and trials in this world. You're going to have tribulation, and the world hates us. Jesus tells us is about the enmity of the world. And then he deals with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how that Jesus himself will leave, but the Holy Spirit will indwell us. The Spirit of God will indwell the people of God, not the world, but the people who make up the true church. Jesus is going to show us the need for the Holy Spirit and how he helps us. And so in this passage today, in John chapter 16, we're going to look at two things, the Holy Spirit in the world and the Holy Spirit in the Christian. Now, first of all, Jesus tells us that the teaching of his disciples is that the world is the enemy of Christ and his followers. The world is our enemy. Now, listen to what Jesus says in the 15th chapter. He says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The world hates the Christian. Now, in the 16th chapter, this is what he says. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. That's the world killing the Christian. Now, why would the world do that? The Christian isn't any menace to the world. That Christian shows love and it shows kindness. Why would the world hate the Christian? Well, Jesus tells us why the world hates the Christian. John 16, verse 3, Jesus says, "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." The world doesn't know God. As a matter of fact, the world hates God. The world wants to get God out of their minds. They don't want the Ten Commandments. They don't want the Bible. They don't want any semblance of God. The world hates God. And they live that way. And anyone who represents God is hated. So they hate God. And when I represent God, they hate me. And they hate the Christians. And they're killing them in some parts of the world. Why? Because they've done some crime? No, because as the followers, they're identified with God. And the world hates them. When these worldlings become Christians, and many of them do, and I suspect there'll be worldlings that are watching our service today, that during the service you'll pray and ask Jesus to make you a new creation and make you his child and take away your sins. That can happen. And then they become, when the world accepts the Lord Jesus, then the persecution ends. And they become brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're part of the family of God. And they have sweet fellowship with God. And so Jesus explains why the world hates the Christians, because they don't know God. And then he tells them why he's warning them of this coming persecution. He says, "I'm going to tell you what's going to happen so it won't be a surprise." He says in John chapter 16, verse 4, "But these things I have told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them." So Jesus knew what was going to happen, and he wanted his people to know that. He wanted his people, his followers, to know that being a Christian is not a cakewalk. It's not some Sunday school picnic. It's not a dress parade. It's a hot, heavy battle, and it's a place. It's no place for panty waists and sissies. And maybe you're not strong enough to even accept Jesus Christ, and you're scared. You won't join them. And so God says, the world's going to hate you. World's going to persecute you. Think of that, Jesus saying, before you follow me, I want you to know what you're getting into. He didn't deceive anybody. He told us clear as a bell. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a young Lutheran pastor in Hitler's Nazi Germany. Bonhoeffer preached, and this is what he said. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. And die he did. John Doberstein writes of Bonhoeffer's death, a young man, young Lutheran pastor, true to God and the Word of God. Doberstein writes, "In the gray dawn of an April day in 1945, in the concentration camp at Flossenbürg, Germany, shortly before it was liberated by the Allied forces, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed by the special order of Heinrich Himmler for the innumerable Christians in Germany, on the continent, in England and America. Dietrich Bonhoeffer's death has been a contemporary confirmation of Tertullian's dictum when Tertullian said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." So Jesus prepares the hearts of his followers for opposition. The world is going to hate you. They're going to despise you. And Jesus didn't want anybody to get up and say that he hadn't warned them. He said, you have to suffer, maybe unto death. I read about William Tyndall, born in 1490s on the Welsh border. He was forbidden to translate the Bible into English, but he did it anyway. And he was called the father of the English Bible. For that act, he was strangled and then burned at the stake in Brussels, October 6, 1536. Before he died, Tyndall said, "I never expected anything else." And he died for the Savior. And so this is what Jesus is teaching us. And he says, "I'm offering you a cross." And this all sounds a big order, too big. And so Jesus says, "You can't do it by yourself. You can't do all these things by yourself. I'm going to give you strength and help. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit." And so listen to Jesus, he says in the seventh verse, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." This wonderful Holy Spirit will help the Christian to face the problems of life. And we're not here alone. He dwells within us. And he gives us power and special help at special times. So the Holy Spirit will also deal with the world. Not only will he help the Christian, but he's going to deal with the world. Then Jesus goes on in the next verse, and this is what he says. "And when he," that is the Holy Spirit, "when the Holy Spirit is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." The Holy Spirit of God convicts the people of three things. Sin. What sin? Thievery? Idolatry? Drunkenness? Murder? No. What sin? "Because they believe not on me." That's the sin. It's not because what a man does, but what a man does with Jesus. They won't believe, and that's the sin that's going to put them into hell. The sin of unbelief. It's the sin of turning Jesus away. And earlier in the same gospel, Jesus said this, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already." Why? "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." That's why. You don't go to hell because you committed murder. You go to hell because you rejected Jesus Christ. That's what he's telling us. And the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of that. And that's why sinners don't like preaching. And that's why some pastors water it down. Not the true pastors don't, but some of them do. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. I've been preaching 71 years. And I can tell you right here, I can tell exactly if people are going to like it or not. Preachers know that. They weren't born yesterday. And so they won't accept it. They will hate you. And they hate the message, and they're going to hate the messenger. Get it straight. And they did that with Jesus, and they did that with Tyndall, and they did that with Bonhoeffer. And they're doing that right today in parts of the world. They are dying. Why? Because they are Christians. Not because they've done any harm or great sin. And so finally, he says, he's going to judge them because of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And sometimes people think that he's speaking of judgment. People are going to face it. When they meet God, they're going to face the judgment. Oh, no. No, no. This tells us you're facing the judgment right now. You're judged right now because you haven't accepted the Lord. You don't need to wait to be judged by God. That'll come. But you're judged right now, right along with the devil and all of the angels and all the evil spirits. You're in the same bunch, in the same gang. Satan has some power in the world today. He has a lot of power. But he can only go just so far as God allows him. And Satan is working extra hard in these last days because he knows his time is short, because he's going to stand before the great white throne of God Almighty and hear God say, "Depart from me," and he's put into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Satan knows that's coming, and he can't get around it. And so that's the Holy Spirit comes. and he judges the world. And the Holy Spirit then talks to you today. And I suspect that right now he's talking to some of you and he's saying you need to come to Jesus. You're under judgment. You don't have to die to be judged. You're judged already. And you had your chance to accept Jesus, and it had been preached to you before, and your mother told you, and maybe your wife told you, and maybe some of your wives, your husband told you, but you know the message, you heard the message, and you rejected Jesus. I have nothing to do with him. I'm going with the crowd, and I'm going the devil's way. And so you're under judgment right now. And the psalmist says, God is angry with the wicked every day. The Holy Spirit and the world. Now the Holy Spirit and the Christian. Look at what he does with the Christian. He comes and he does all of these other things. But he says, Jesus says, it is expedient for you that I go away. Because if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him. What is expedient? It means why it is, what is the best? What is the best solution? And the best is simply this. If Jesus is here in the flesh, how many people can see him? He can only be in one place. But if he goes to the heaven and he sends his Holy Spirit, he is everywhere, all over the world. Sure, it's better that he goes and the Holy Spirit comes. And so here he is now, and he comes to us and he helps us and he ministers to the Christians. For one thing, he instructs us and teaches us as we go along. Jesus tells his disciples in verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. So Jesus is considerate of his followers. When I become his follower, when you become his follower, he's considerate of you. And he says, oh, there's some things he needs to know, but he's not ready yet. I can't tell him yet. He has to grow. She has to grow. It's just like taking algebra in school. You have to learn to start with the basics. There's things you can't be taught till you get the basics. And as you build on that and become stronger, then you get into algebra and geometry. And, oh, Lord have mercy, I don't know what that is. I never had any part of it, and I don't want any part of it either. But Jesus is just saying, he says, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to guide you, and I'm going to help you learn as you go along. You see, our entire life is a pilgrimage, really. Young people need a guide. Young married couples need a guide, middle age, old age. We all need a guide because none of us know what a day will bring forth. But Jesus knows the whole way, and the Holy Spirit knows everything. And so this wonderful Holy Spirit will guide and help us and instruct us. And then we're told that the Holy Spirit also will give us encouragement and strengthen us and help us. Jesus is going to leave his disciples, that's for sure. In verse 16th verse, Jesus tells them again clearly and plainly. He's going to leave them. He says, a little while and you shall not see me again. A little while and you shall see me because I go to my Father. And then he adds, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You know what he's doing? This little while. What is a little while anyway? You know, here, it depends. It can be a long or short time. Here, for instance, here's a couple of young kids and they get on their first date. And boy, he is so smitten, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know up from down. And she is the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. He's just a 13-year-old. He looks like he's just as strong as an ox. And here she is. She's got perfume, and she's got eyes, and she blinks a little bit, and he thinks he's going to die. So he's been with her for an hour, and how long did it seem? Seemed like 5 minutes. Just seems like a minute. Is it? He was an hour there and enthralled in another world, see? A little time. Or supposing you go to the dentist. And you sit in that dentist office for 5 minutes, you think it takes 5 hours. Think it's forever. A little time. What does he mean by a little time? Well, it all depends on what you're doing. Now, Jesus is telling his disciples he's going to be gone a little while. Then he'll be back again. What is he saying? I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to die for your sins. And he says, the world, you're going to weep. You're going to lament. But he says, the world is going to rejoice. They're going to be happy to see him die on that cross. And then Jesus tells them, in the 20th verse, ye shall be sorrowful to his disciples. You're going to have a heart broke. You're going to be sorrowful. But then he says your sorrow is going to be turned into joy. Jesus is going to substitute something wonderful for something horrible. Not that, but he's going to turn the hurtful thing into a joyful thing. And then he gives an illustration. And his illustration is verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, but for the joy that a man is born into the world. There you have it. That which has caused her all kinds of sorrow is now turned into joy. Here she is with this terrible sorrow, this terrible pain and agony, and then she sees that little mutt of a kid, that little baby, and caused her all that trouble. She's thrilled to death. Sorrow turned to joy. That's what Jesus does. Devil doesn't do that. The devil turns joy into sorrow. Jesus turns sorrow into joy. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we see the old rugged cross where Jesus died. What a time of sorrow. What a time of suffering. How terrible, how painful, how horrible, like a woman in travail. But when the price is paid and the cross is paid, it is beautiful and it is wonderful. It's the salvation of my soul. And it is an ugly thing. It's a beautiful thing. No wonder they wear gold crosses. No wonder St. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the joy of the Lord, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll trade that cross of suffering someday for a beautiful crown. And so Jesus telling his disciples, I'm going to leave you now. And it'll be a thing of terrible suffering. And you're going to lament, you're going to weep, and you're going to cry. Everything will look as though it is lost, but then I'll come again after the resurrection. I'll come again, and you'll rejoice because all of the suffering is over, and now, oh, this joy is there. And so when the troubles and trials come, Jesus is saying, don't complain and don't fuss and don't give up, but just know that out of the trials and troubles of life, Jesus is going to bring glory and joy. That's what St. Paul did. He had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed to God to take it, but it hurt him, and it bothered him, and it hampered his ministry. And he prayed three times to please Jesus, take away that thorn out of my flesh. But God says, no, Sir Paul, and don't pray about it anymore. I'm not going to remove that thorn. And so what did Paul do? Did he say, oh, I try to serve you the best I can. That's the way you treat me. I'm done with you. St. Paul said, I glory in that thorn in the flesh, and I'm going to hold it up like a flag. I'm going to let the whole world see that I'll suffer for Jesus and gladly so, because joy is going to come. Maybe you're going through some hard times now. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're weary. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you think that all the world's forgotten you, and maybe most people have forgotten you. Maybe you're shut in. Been a long winter, and we're only in January, and you can't get out, you can't get around, and you think all is lost. But just remember this. There's weeps, and weeping comes in the night, but there's joy in the morning, and you stay true to Jesus. Trust Jesus. Love Jesus. Lean on Jesus. And that wonderful Holy Spirit is there. He helps you so you know how to pray. He helps you so that you have hope and you have strength. And oh, he's letting you know that Jesus loves you. And Jesus demonstrated that, didn't he? He loved his disciples. They all forsook him and fled. He loved them anyway. And so maybe you have down, you're in a down and you're out, but Jesus is there, that wonderful, beautiful Savior. And he's come to help you. And maybe there's somebody you can help them about there that you can talk to or you can encourage, you can lift up. You can have that because you have the Holy Spirit. You have the strength of the Spirit of God. But you'll never have the Holy Spirit till you have Jesus. You have to accept Jesus. And Jesus then, by the Holy Spirit, comes into your life. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. And this is what happens. We're poor lost sinners. We're suffering and we're sorrowing. And Jesus comes to us. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. And we have our sin and our sorrow. And we give them all to Jesus. And we ask him to come into our heart and live in our heart. And the wonderful Holy Spirit enters and he brings the Holy Spirit. And then he gives us that Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us and gives us strength. And that's why Tyndall can, at his death, say, I've been expecting it, I'm ready for it. And there are Christians that are dying now, and they have their chance. And in Arabic, they will say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they die. They die. But the glory, they're in the glory now. And just think, they were a prisoner. And all of a sudden, they're in the presence of the King. And all the glory of heaven and all the beauty of heaven is there. And the suffering is over and the trials are over. And your trials and my trials will be all done when we see Jesus. So the first thing you got to do, you got to have Jesus. Just say, Dear Jesus, I need you. I want to be saved, but I need you to help me. And I ask you to take away my sins. And dear Jesus, I'll follow you the best I can. I'll forsake all those sins best I can. And then to say, Dear Jesus, I thank you for saving my soul. And I'm going to make you the Lord of my life, and you're going to be first. That's what you pray. And then he'll be there. Maybe you've already done that, and you're having a hard time. Say, Dear Jesus, help me to lean on you more. Strengthen my faith, and I'll follow you and stay with you. If you've accepted Jesus, you write to us and we'll send you literature. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you accepted the Lord, we'll send you some literature. If you want to send us a gift to help us, and whatever you do, pray for us and pray for this ministry and trust Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all you've done for us and all you're doing for us right now, this minute, and what you'll do for us in eternity, the ages to come. May many be swept into the kingdom, and may many others be taking new hope and new life and new faith and rejoice in the Lord and even in their own way sing a praise to you. And oh, in all things may Jesus be glorified. May he be pleased, our wonderful Savior. Thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So I want to thank you all for inviting us into your homes. You know, we pray for you during the week. And we have our staff member. We pray for all of you in our Christian Worship Hour all over the world. There's no way for us to see you, but Jesus sees you. God sees you. He's there right with you. And when you put your faith in him, when you worship him, you're right at the throne of grace in heaven. You are in heaven, the very presence of God. Oh, stay true. Take heart. Hang in there. And God will bless and use us, all to his glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.